Shabbat Shalom and welcome to Kehilat Tenuva, The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic Congregation in Thornton, Colorado. You're listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. Our goal is to provide, for free, the message of the Torah from a Messianic Judaic perspective. Here's Pastor Mark.
Today I want to talk about God's people. Are God's people privileged? Are God's people privileged? Think about that. Does God bless and favor his people over and against others? Does covenant privilege, quote unquote, exist? And if so, how can I tap into it? We live in a world that has rejected its maker and has subsequently introduced to it sin, misery, and death. We have since lived our lives on our own terms. Injustice and misery are all around us due to our own decisions. Most of us, or most in society, are turning to their godless governments for help and relief. And they are quickly finding out that their humanistic societies and governments and institutions cannot save them nor deliver them from their lack, their unhappiness, and their misery. The big question is there any hope for us? I've got good news and bad news. Let me give you the good news first. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is the heart of our God. Our God's a Savior. He's a judge, and he must judge, and he's a righteous judge, and there will be justice. But make no mistake about it. He's all about mercy and loving kindness. He's all about saving his people, saving humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. He goes on to say in verse 17, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Jesus came so we could be saved. God is not angry with us. It doesn't state God was so angry that he killed his own Son, right? No, God so loved the world that he gave us his Son, that we would be saved through him. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already. We are born in sin, alienated from God. From the word go, we are destined for hell. We are born alienated in our sin, already lost. He who believes will not come under judgment or condemnation. He who does not believe is already under that, born into that, destined already for hell. He sent Jesus so we could escape hell. He sent Jesus so we could be saved. Everyone that's born is born condemned to die and to be destined for hell. The good news, he sent his Son so that whoever would believe in him could be forgiven and escape that and be saved. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. Those who believe will not be judged. Those who do not believe are already judged. There's no neutrality here. We are born condemned already. The good news is that we can be saved if we humble ourselves and turn to God and receive Jesus as our atonement. Believe and embrace Jesus as your Savior and King, and you will be saved from this cruel and dark sin-riddled world. Bad news? It's unbelievable. This is such bad news. John 3:19. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men loved the darkness rather than the light. Think about that. God sends his son so that we can be saved, and we say no, we'd rather have darkness. How irrational is that? It's true though, isn't it? There are people that love darkness rather than light. There are people that say, well, you know what? I don't really care about going to heaven. You know what? Life is life. This is what it is. I'm going to do my own thing. It's my life, and I'm going to live it the way I want to live it. Yeah, men loved the darkness rather than the light. People will go to hell because they chose to go to hell. God doesn't determine or decide or will that anyone would perish. That's not the heart of God. He's not sending people. He's allowing people to go to hell. It's their free choice. Just like I talked earlier, I was making my own choice, a horrible choice. God says, I love you. I want to save you. But if you insist in embracing the darkness, if you insist on a destiny so horrible, it's incomprehensible, that's your choice. I'll honor it because that's your freedom that I gave you as an image bearer. Now, those that reject the light, they are called throughout the scriptures by a number of terms. Probably the most noteworthy is the term wicked. The wicked are those who say, I know there's a way. I've seen the light. I just choose to reject it. Those are the wicked that are among us. They've been here since the beginning. They were there in the days of Jesus. They're all around us today. They'll be with us till the very end. Ultimately, they will be gathered, judged, dealt with, and then eliminated from all of us forever. In the meantime, till we get there, here are two questions for those who are looking for help and solutions to this fallen world that we all currently live in. First question, can a person find blessing and favor with God in a way that causes him or her to rise in a world that does not believe in him? Is there any hope? Is there any salvation, right? And if so, how can I find that place of blessing? How can I find that place of privilege? The answer to the first question, can a person find blessing and favor with God in this world? The answer is yes. Yes. Think of Daniel in Babylon. Daniel in the diaspora, under the judgment of God, dragged away with his people into Persia, a pagan nation, actually a world empire with a pagan king, right? What's going to happen with Daniel? It's interesting to note all the things he goes through and what happens by the end of his life. Think of Mordecai and Esther also in Persia. Daniel was in Babylon. Mordecai and Esther were in Persia. Yeah, they found favor with God. They rose up even in the midst of paganism all around them. What was the common denominator, though, in their lives? The common denominator was that they were faithful to the covenant. The covenant is being represented in the commandments of God, by the way. The Ten Commandments are the irreducible limits, if you will, of the covenant. It's actually referred to as the covenant. Being faithful to the ways of God, to the character of God, the ways of God, the mandates of God, this is what secures favor, regardless of who you are and where you're at in this world. Think of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Daniel ends up in the king's palace, chosen with some of his close Jewish friends, and they're going to be raised up by the king's court and have an opportunity to serve in the king's rule and reign. Daniel, though, says, hey, we can't eat the king's food. You think that's going to cause a problem for Daniel? He's already a slave. He's already been whisked away in the invasion of Babylon. And him and his nation has been taken away into captivity. You know, when you're a captive, you don't make these requests. He's in the king's palace, and he's telling one of the king's representatives, you need to tell the chef that we can't eat certain foods. We have a particular diet as Jewish people, and we're going to observe that. Imagine the chutzpah, right? Daniel, verse 8, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. That's a great story. You read, find out what happened. I don't have time to go into it. Later on, they are called to bow to an idol that's been made, an image of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And of course, it's a setup because there are people within that kingdom that want him and the Jewish people dead. So of course, Daniel and his Jewish brothers that are with him, they've decided they're not going to bow to the idol. And they're the only ones standing there while everyone else is bowing. And so the king's servants basically say, King, now you have to do what has to be done. They have to be thrown into the furnace. And we know how that story ended. Isn't that true? Daniel didn't know how that was going to end. Daniel didn't know what was going to happen when he said, I can't eat the king's food. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Someone comes to your house. You're going to serve them food. And they say, you know what? I can't eat that. That'll defile me. What are you going to do? Show them the door, right? If you're the king, you might have their heads. Yeah, and then later on, he won't bow to the idol made of the king. He has no idea what's going to happen. They end up thrown into that fiery furnace, and God spares them, delivers them. What an amazing story of faith. And then we see Daniel, again, put into a place in which he set up. Those that knew him knew that he would not violate the law of God. So they made a law that said you cannot bow and pray to anyone but the king. So then they go looking for Daniel, knowing that he prays three times a day. Sure enough, they caught him in the act of praying on his rooftop towards Jerusalem. They said, busted, gotcha. Told the king couldn't violate his own law. He didn't realize all the politicizing that was going on behind the scenes. But he had Daniel thrown into the lion's den for, I think it was 30 days. He made pets out of the lions and reemerged. I want to read you the end of his life. It's not the end of his life. I want to read you late in his life. He still had many years left. Darius is a new king. Chapter 6, verse 25 starts with this. Then Darius the king wrote to all the peoples, nations, men of every language who were living in the land. May your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. A pagan king tells his kingdom that they are to bow and tremble before the God of Daniel. People, resist the urge to bow to fear and run and hide. You are the children of the living God. This is our time. This is our day. Let's live the thrill of our ancestors. by living by faith rather than our circumstances. It goes on to say, for he, Daniel's God, is the living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever and ever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has also, by the way, delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel, there were many Daniels, of course. This one was full of faith and lived by faith, faithful to the covenant. So this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let me read that a little bit differently. So this Daniel enjoyed success in the pagan realm of a pagan king amidst pagan people. Daniel rose to the top. Fear not. Bow not. Be faithful to the covenant. Esther and Mordecai, you know the story. Again, in Persia, under a pagan king, and the story is so powerful, I don't have time to go into it, but if you'll remember the high points, Mordecai refuses to bow to Haman, the king's prime minister. And the reason he says, I can't bow, is because I'm a Jew. That's code for, I can't violate the covenant. The covenant says, you shall not bow to other gods. And you've made your prime minister a god in Persia. I will not bow. I cannot bow. So Haman then sorts out that he's not going to just kill Mordecai, but all the Jews. Every Jew must die. We must rid our empire of God's people, basically. Esther, she goes in to intercede at the risk of her own life to beg the king to intervene and to spare the Jewish people. By the end of the story, the three highest rulers in the world empire of Persia is the king himself, the queen, Jewish Esther, and her uncle, Mordecai the Jew, prime minister, vice regent of Persia. Again, we see, even in the diaspora, even in the pagan realms of the nations who reject God, God can cause his people to rise to the top. That is good news. They were all believers in Messiah. The common denominator, they believed in the Messiah to come and they stayed faithful to the covenant. Because they walked in the covenant, they found favor, blessing, and status. This is the most misunderstood thing today in the body of Messiah. Deuteronomy 28. Now it shall be, if you, my people, saved by grace through faith in the blood of the Lamb in Egypt, right? These are his people saved out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. Now, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, if you're very careful to obey from your heart and in your behavior the Lord your God, being careful to do all of his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. You who are saved, if you obey my commandments, these things are going to come. Chase you down, tackle you, that you might experience them. What are they? The blessings. They're personified as if they're angels. You can run, but you can't hide. The blessing's going to get you. If you walk in covenant faithfulness, you can be a son of God, a daughter of God, and reject the covenant and miss the blessing, even though you're saved. Come on now, right? That's why the harvest exists. Deuteronomy 28, 15. But it shall come about if you do not obey the Lord your God. You who are saved by grace through faith in the blood of the Lamb, all a type and shadow of the gospel. If you do not obey the Lord your God to observe all, to observe to do all his commandments and statutes, which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Again, the curses are personified as angels. And God says, if you're not going to walk in my ways as my children, you will beckon the curse. They will come. You can run, but you cannot hide. You will be found, tackled, that you might experience the curse rather than the blessing. Put that in your theological pipe and smoke it. Think about that. You say, well, why would God do that? Because he loves you. Think of a curse as a chastisement to get you back on track. Then the curse is a blessing in disguise. But you don't need the one in disguise. You can obey the word of the Lord and have the one that's a blessing. You know? I love this. I'm glad God has curses. He doesn't curse anyone. We whistle for the curses. When we willfully disobey the Lord and persist in that, we are saying, I'm over here to the curses. Over here, yoo-hoo, me, come and get me, right? We beckon the curse. God just determines when the curse is released and the intensity. That's all he does. And he does it because he loves us. Covenant faithfulness will secure and foster covenant privilege. Covenant privilege is when you and I walk in the covenant, we gain privilege. We gain blessing and favor over and against others, which puts us in a place of privilege. Yeah, oh, look at him. That's just my goody two-shoes brother, you know, Mr. Goody-Good. That's why he's so blessed. That's true. When people say that of you or me or whatever, it's true. There's a place called covenant privilege where God says, I'll give you favor over and against others because you obeyed me. Look at Daniel. Look at Mordecai. Look at Esther. Look at all the saints. You say, well, some had pretty awful endings. I'll get to that. Covenant faithfulness will secure and foster covenant privilege. And with covenant privilege, you and I gain favor and blessing and status in the places we live. God is no respecter of persons. Wherever you live on this planet, it doesn't matter. Covenant privilege will work for you. Doesn't matter where you live, regardless of your form of government structure. It can be a monarchy, a democracy, a republic. Covenant privilege will work for you. I tell my friend all the time, I say, you know what? I could be in communist China and I'm still going to be blessed. I'm still going to rise up because God is bigger than that. What about tyranny? Can you rise in the midst of tyranny? I don't know. Ask Pharaoh or Joseph, who was under the tyranny of an Egyptian king, right? Yeah. Haman, that was tyranny. And yet Mordecai and Esther rose. Think of Antiochus Epiphanes and his genocide against the Jews. Hanukkah's coming. How about Hitler? What about ISIS and ISIL today? Hamas, Hezbollah. Well, they're next on the list to learn the lesson. Touch not my anointed. Do my people no harm. Covenant faithfulness is what you and I need in the world that we're living in today. Regardless of your ethnicity, covenant privilege will work for you. Doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. It will work for you. Don't buy the lie of the enemy. Regardless of your skin color, covenant privilege will work for you. It's not a white thing. It's not a black thing. It's not a brown thing. It's not a yellow thing. It's a covenant thing. God's no respecter of persons. Regardless of your biological gender, of which there's only two. Regardless of whether you're a male, female, or confused, covenant privilege will work for you. It's not a male thing, it's not a female thing. Regardless of your economic status, it will work for you. It's not a rich thing, it's not a poor thing. Again, it's a covenant thing. The Most High God is no respecter of persons. However, I've heard that he is a respecter of religions. Most High God only respects those religions who believe in him and his written word. A religion that embraces the written word, Torah, but rejects the Messiah is suspect. A religion that embraces the Messiah but rejects the Torah, the written word, is suspect. You're going to want to find one that believes the Bible, old and new, the whole entire, the written word of God, and believes that Yeshua is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. All other religions are the worship of lesser gods. The Most High God is the God of Israel. And he only has one son, one Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. All these other gods that are in these other religions cannot offer atonement or forgiveness or salvation, let alone life. It's a dead-end street. What you need is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and covenant privilege, both in this life and the life to come. So how can I find it? Quickly, we'll try to get down through this. How can I find it? Well, number one, repent of your own ways and put your faith in Jesus as your personal Savior and King. That's where it all starts. The kingdom of God has borders, like every nation. Has borders, ordained of God. You can't just come into the kingdom on your own terms. All illegal aliens will be cast out. You can only come in through one gate. His name is Yeshua the Messiah. And once you put your faith and trust in him, you get to come into God's realm, his rule and reign, his kingdom. That's how you get in. No other way. There's no other thing you can do. No works, nothing. Only one thing, faith in the Son of God. Then you get to come in. And faith in Messiah brings you into the covenant of God, the realm of God, the Israel of God, the family of God, the promises of God, and obedience to the commandments of the Torah will bring many blessings and favor and status. Incrementally, it will build throughout your life. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. He will not withhold any good thing from those, it's a small group, who will actually walk uprightly, not perfectly, not perfectly, but will actually humble themselves when they sin and ask for forgiveness, recognizing that their salvation is in the Son and his atonement. No good thing will God withhold from them. The first commandment after coming into the covenant, the first commandment of the covenant is to be baptized in Yeshua. If you're a believer and you're not baptized, what are you thinking? You want some covenant privilege? You better get baptized. That's the first thing you need to do. And good for you, we have those forms in the back on the foyer table. Grab one. Fill it out. Make a public affirmation of your personal faith in Jesus. Get that covenant privilege thing working for you. Do it. Can't wait to get you wet. Hallelujah. Now, you say, what about all those who believe and they didn't receive all those blessings you're talking about? In fact, they lost a lot of what they already had. Some even lost their lives. It's true. After you identify with Yeshua the Messiah, the world is going to try and kill you, try to remove you from this place. The blessings, the favor of God does not exempt you and me from persecution. Persecution will come. My point is, it comes anyway. Might as well have some covenant privilege along with it, right? You're going to have persecution no matter what. I'm going to identify with God, pick up my cross, and follow Him. The good news is that persecution will end. The blessings will never end. They will never end. So in conclusion, I just want to say, God is a Savior. He's a Savior. He loves you. He sent His Son to save us. He sent His Son to deliver us from the domain of sin and shame and misery. Came to restore us and to give us a joy unspeakable and full of glory. To qualify our life with blessing and favor. He will keep us. He will keep us. He will restore us. He will give to us the world to come. All of this starts by embracing Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. The blessings, the favor, and the status, they'll increase incrementally as you come into alignment with His ways. Now, I want to say to some of you, I want to say to all of us, if there's an area of your life or something that God is dealing with, that He's putting some heat on you, and you know what He's asking you to do, you know His word, and that you're not in alignment with it, you need to get in alignment with it. You're saying, you know what? It just feels like all the blessings are gone. Yeah, that's what it feels like when we get in those places. I've been there. I got multiple t-shirts. But I've learned, just like you have learned, that we got to move out of those places and come in alignment with His word. And so if there's an area that God's been dealing with you on, get it right. Move back into that place of blessing and favor. He loves you. Always remember, persecution comes and goes, but the blessings of God will remain forever and ever, that He is faithful to His word, and we can trust Him for that. Shabbat shalom.
Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And we add, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace, so you shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Yivarech Adonai ve'yishmerecha. Yaher Adonai panavalecha. Ve'ihunecha, Isa Adonai, panavalecha, ve'asemlecha, Shalom. Shabbat shalom.
You've been listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. We hope you have found this teaching relevant and challenging for your life. If you are in the Metro Denver area, please join us on Shabbat. Service starts at 1 p.m. and ends at 3 p.m. Kehillah Tenuva is located at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado, just a few miles north of downtown Denver. For more information, please visit www.graftedin.com. That's www.graftedin.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 29993, Thornton, Colorado, 80229. For inquiries, please call 303-761-9948 or email info@graftedin.com. Thank you for listening to the Shabbat message. Shabbat Shalom and Shavua Tov.